Welcome to Roots and Routes, where we journey across continents and generations. I'm your host, Lena. Join us as we delve into the childhood stories of amazing guests. We'll investigate those pivotal moments, uncovering how culture, traditions, and family values shape dreams. From bustling cities to quiet towns, old school wisdom to new age innovation, we'll piece together how parenting styles intersect with personal journeys. Whether you are a parent, educator, or curious soul, get ready for heartwarming stories and deep conversations that broaden your horizons. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Roots and Routes. I'm Lena. What you're listening to right now is the music created by my friend Sarah Routh. Sarah is a Niwa-born singer and songwriter, the LA Music Critic Awards winner, a mother, a daughter, a wife, and a free soul who lives outside the norm. I met Sarah over a decade ago in Shanghai, a city where she had spent some of her best years of her life. The first time I saw her was in the jazz bar. She was performing a song she had written herself called Dark Moon. Her voice and her musical storytelling really caught my attention. I have never seen an artist who would look so strong yet so vulnerable at the same time, with music that felt as though it had grown inside her. After that night, Sarah and I became friends. We had coffee together at Tianzi Farm, where she would let me ride on the back of her bike as we zoomed around the city. I would go to her show in the evenings, and afterwards, we'd join friends for drinks and parties. I had no idea that she was actually going through a divorce during that time. Even after she moved to LA, we stayed in touch until she eventually moved back to Iowa while I moved to the Bay Area. I witnessed her transformative journey from a free-spirited individual to a grounded woman, now building her own family in her hometown. Today, I will share with you an intimate conversation I had with Sarah. She will talk about her journey as a musician, her roots in Iowa, her routes in China, her personal growth through her divorce, and her beautiful relationship with her family and her brother, the Hollywood star Brandon Routh. She will delve into the concept of living outside the norm and how she embraces it in her life. Now, here's our conversation.
Oh, wow. It's really been a while. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm, you know, still alive. So that's...
That's a good sign.
Yes.
The last time I saw you was still back in Shanghai, right? That feels like another life to me.
It's a whole other book.
We met each other maybe in 2010 or 2011. I have always wanted to ask you, like, what brought you to China? I think I've never asked you this question before.
Well, my first marriage, we were living in Los Angeles at the time. We didn't have any major responsibilities, like children, and we didn't own a home. He is Australian, loved to travel, and I love to travel. So we decided to sell everything and just travel around the world for a year. Months into our traveling, we ended up visiting a girlfriend of mine and her husband who lived in Shanghai. And we liked it so much. I got a job as a teacher and he got a job managing a restaurant. That's what took us there and kept us there. Yeah. And we were only supposed to be in Shanghai for 2 weeks and it was almost 4 years.
Oh, wow.
So you and I met at kind of the end of the time when I was there.
So how would you describe those years living in Shanghai?
Oh my goodness. Fantastic and magical, chaotic, beautiful, full of hurt and full of growth. Most definitely some of the best years of my life.
And I really like how you describe there are hurt and there are growth, because yeah. I believe these two things are connected to each other.
Oh, definitely. It's about the balance of who we want to become as we get older. You know, when you're young, everything's out of balance. You're not going to find the balance.
So I still vividly remember the last night of you performing in Shanghai. And I do remember all of us, your fans, your friends, and just gathered at the bar. Then we went outside to fly a lot of the fire balloons. Do you remember that?
Oh, yes.
I saw tears in your eyes. You were just staring at it and quietly. So what were you thinking at that moment?
Oh, yes. It was a terrifying time. I was crying because it was a new chapter. I was freeing myself from old thoughts and behaviors and excited to become the new person. You know, I knew that I had to leave Shanghai in order to start becoming the person I am now. When the tears started to fall, it was me accepting all of the things that had happened in my life in Shanghai and the people that I met, like the sadness that had happened and the growth I was talking about, and then also being okay letting those things go. And so when the balloons were flying, that was me letting go of attachment to those emotions that maybe were kind of keeping me bogged down and not from moving forward. And also, I mean, gosh, just how many people showed up to share their love and support. And it was pretty overwhelming at that time.
You just mentioned that moment include some sort of letting go. So does that part of letting go include your first marriage?
Yeah, we were in Shanghai about a year and a half, and we started to fall apart. We realized that we weren't each other's final people. I was in my early 30s at the time. That's still considered kind of young, and you're still trying to maneuver life and where you're going to be, and to have all of those outside influences kind of hitting you all at once in a country that's so far away from what you know. It was hard for us to find each other first in not knowing who we were. We didn't know who we wanted to be as a married couple. I mean, after we divorced while we were still in Shanghai, I stayed for a little bit longer and then realized, you know, sometimes the sadness was too much for me to bear. And I could see myself hurting my body. I was drinking and smoking and doing drugs and staying out too late. And I had a full-time job and two band things. And I was beating myself up, trying to mask sadness and working through a great loss of love. I knew that it was time for me to move on. As I was going through the divorce process, which I found to be difficult in another country, because in America, there's a certain way that you have to stay in the state for so many months and you have to file and you have to do all these things. But he's Australian and they do things differently there. The consulate didn't help. There weren't any lawyers that I could find in Shanghai to help with that process. Eventually, because both he and I had dual citizenship, I filed in Australia. And so going through that process, and my parents and my family back here, they were ready for me to come home.
Yeah.
But I chose to stay in Shanghai because I didn't want to have pity. I didn't want people to come and pat me on the back and say, oh, are you okay? We love you, which is beautiful support. But I needed to process through it in a different way. And now I feel really great that I made the decision. I feel like it helped me grow. It helped me to learn what I deserve in life and what I deserve out of my life. You know, when I first started saying that to myself, kind of like in a mantra way, I thought, oh gosh, that's so selfish to say I deserve this in my life. But really, it's okay for us to be selfish when it comes to self-care. I deserve to be loved. I deserve to be happy. I deserve to be challenged from a partner. And when I started talking about those things over and over and over inside my heart and in my head, it became a reality. And I have a beautiful family now. I receive all of those things from my sweetheart. I try hard not to think about past and the what ifs. I don't live in the world of the what if.
If we look back to those years you spent in China, how did those years live in China impact you?
They have enriched me with such force. You never know what to expect when you travel to a new country. And I'm grateful for my parents for bringing me up in this way that's like, okay, sit back, observe before you say anything or before you make it your action. I quickly learned that there are many ways that culturally that were different than how I lived. Like, we say thank you a lot here. it's not necessarily something that's needed to be said, vocalized, because it's just implied. Mm-hmm. You don't need to say please. You don't need to say all of these things that when you're a kid in America, you're like, you have to say please, say thank you, and be appropriate and be polite. You know, in China, you just be a good person. Take care of yourself, take care of your family, drink baijiu and eat good food.
Oh, bye. Bye, Joe.
China means to me patience. Mm-hmm. It is where I learned in my adult life about patience. Mm. If I wanted to make bread, or if I wanted to really make anything that was like home to me, I had to go to like four or five different stores to get all the ingredients. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't just go to one store. This is just a really simple example of what I mean by patience. Mm. And so instead of getting mad about the fact that some store didn't have all the ingredients that I needed for this one dish, mm-hmm. enjoy the fact that I'm riding my bicycle and I'm going all around town to get eggs from over here, to get oil from here, to get this certain kind of flour from over here. Also, patience, it's a different language. Mm-hmm. It's a different way of delivering emotion. It's a different way of just being with another person. And I read people by body language. I learned Mandarin by talking to the taxi drivers because they always wanted to talk about politics. It took a long time and I was patient because I wanted to enjoy the culture as much as I can. I didn't want to be a tourist. I wanted to be part of the community. And so in order for me to be the part of the community, I needed to own my patience in order to learn better. So China to me is patience.
After the last night you moved from Shanghai to LA, I really want to know, like, how's LA?
Oh, LA was just a space holder in my life at that time. I was in Los Angeles before we took off to travel around the world. So when I first moved back to the States, I lived with my parents for a month because I needed time to slow down. And then I headed back to LA with the intention of continuing to hustle and do my music. I went back to working in the same restaurant that I was managing before I left. And it was all very comfortable for me to kind of just drop right back into what I knew, yeah. you know? But then having all of this kind of traumatic backstory come into my life at that time, mm-hmm. and I knew more again about what I wanted out of life and what I wanted to give life, it was a completely different experience. And I was really, really pissed off at traffic every single day. Like the first time when I was in LA, I was excited and it was new. But the second time around, I was just annoyed by the city. I was old enough where I was like, I need to get paid to be playing my music. My music is worth being paid for. I don't need to pay a place to play where nobody's going to listen to me or play for 3 hours and make $75. And again, back to the traffic, that just made me really upset. And I didn't want to be that mad person every day. When I moved back to LA, I was living with my brother and sister-in-law. They were so beautiful to open their doors and let me stay for a little while until I got my feet on the ground again. And I got a scooter.
Wow.
I got a scooter to get around town, which was beautiful. It was a lot of fun. Sometimes it would start and sometimes it wouldn't start, you know. But and I used the bus, the transit, which is not the best in Los Angeles either. But and when I finally got the car, it was just too much for me. I'm only going 3 miles and it's going to take me an hour and a half to get there. I have better things to do with my life than be angry about this traffic, you know.
Absolutely.
So did you miss those days biking around in Shanghai?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Some of my best memories are on a bicycle after a late night at a gig. I had a backpack that held my guitar. And so I'd ride my bicycle at like 5 in the morning when the city is quiet. And to have a city of 28 million people be quiet is an astounding thing. Or the shopkeepers are just starting to open their doors and sweep the sidewalks and you hear the birds in the trees. And while I'm kind of like maybe drunk, but
hangover.
Oh man, yeah, I had a lot of green tea those days.
Well, sounds like the life in LA is much more intense. Would you say that? Just like you're mentally, spiritually, and just seems like not very happy in there in general. And also, like, I just always imagine being artist, being musician in LA, it must be really competitive there because they have this huge industry. You know, just for those artists or actresses or actors who want to be recognized, you know, they must face a lot of like judgment or criticism. As a musician yourself,
how do you deal with criticism?
I just assume you must have been through some of them.
Oh, sure, sure. I never let criticism get to me. I never have, because I own who I am as an artist. And I have never strived to be like someone else. I may sound like an artist. You know, when people ask you, oh, Sarah, you play music. You know, who do you sound like? If I'm listening to the radio, who do you sound like? It's a simple question and I could give a simple answer, but usually my answer is, well, I sound like Sarah Routh. Just go online and listen. Then you can figure it out yourself and you can put me in your own box. Mm-hmm. But for me to put myself in a box, I refused to do that. Mm-hmm. And in Los Angeles, it's a hustle. There is so much pressure to play at the certain places that people are going to go to or get recognition where you think that you deserve recognition, but then you don't get the recognition. Or if you want to open for a certain artist, you have to know the right people. Whereas in Shanghai, there was no pressure to be anything. Plus, I was one of the only female artists in this giant city doing my kind of music. Even though there were so many amazing musicians, this is back in Shanghai, I didn't feel like there were a lot of female guitar playing, singer, songwriter, rock and roll, folk artists. Yep. It was heavy metal and then jazz or blues or funk. Yep. And they were doing cover tunes every night in a hotel. But for me, it was just like, I could do whatever the hell I wanted to. Mm-hmm. When I got back to LA, I had to dial in and deliver what I thought the audiences wanted to hear. I see. And I didn't want to do that anymore. Mm-hmm. I did have the experience of making my first and second record in Los Angeles when I moved back. And those were incredible moments, mm-hmm. stepping stones in my life. But as an artist, it really beat me down. And I was like, oh, I'm done with that. Because I don't want to feel that way inside. Because then I won't be able to deliver the way that I want to deliver as an artist.
So I saw your website. You described yourself outside the norm. Mm-hmm. So how do you see yourself living outside the norm? How do you understand this concept?
In music, there are certain maps in writing songs that will gain audiences or gain listeners or gain streams. I follow a map, but it's in my head, you know, kind of. And if my song has a hook, then great. If it doesn't have a hook, that's great too. I want to tell the story. But it's not just the music in what I mean by living outside the norm. It's my character. It's who I am and how I live my life. I don't live to what society expects of an artist to be. Mm-hmm. Outside the norm, it's just, I don't have any cares to deliver myself in a way that isn't true to me. Does that make sense?
That does.
I'm not going to wear certain clothes and I'm not going to be marketed in a certain way to get people to listen to me. I used to think that way. I used to think that I needed to figure out how I was going to best be created as an artist. But then once I realized that it wasn't going to be that kind of artist, that I was like, oh, well, I don't need to live to a certain caliber in order to get 10,000 listeners, because I'm not going to have 10,000 listeners. But if I do, I'm grateful for it. You know, like, I think life is so much easier if you just live true to yourself, if your authentic self can be delivered daily.
Mm-hmm. So when was the moment that you made the final decision? Is like, okay, I'm done with LA. I'm going to go back home.
I started to date someone and that relationship was another devastating blow to my ego. I was like, I need to just get out of here. I wanted to have a child. I was starting to get older and I thought, this city, I didn't want to be a single mom in Los Angeles. I didn't want to do it. And I praise all those women, those parents. I mean, they're single fathers too, that make it happen. But for me, I was like, okay, I'm just going to move back to my hometown, live in my parents' basement, somehow inseminate myself and have a baby all on my own. Because I was at this stage in my life, was like, I've done this. I've traveled the world. I'm a musician. musician. I could play music anytime. Now I deserve to make life if my body will allow me to.
So I'm really curious at that moment when you landed yourself in your hometown. How did that feel?
It felt full circle. Mm-hmm. My parents, older, but they're not super elderly. I knew that I wanted to be close to them in order to help support them as they aged. My sweetheart and my dad flew to Los Angeles together on the plane. Oh. So they got to talk to each other like, oh, I guess we're moving Sarah back to Iowa, you know, uh-huh. And packed all my stuff up into my Prius. And then we rented a minivan and then I sold everything else. And then the three of us drove back to Iowa. And when we pulled up into the driveway of my sweetheart's house, I was just like, this is right.
This feels right.
Yes. And again, it was another really amazing, beautiful moment that was just like the balloons, you know, that chapter. I was open to whatever was going to come my way. It had happened so many times before. If things didn't work out with my sweetheart and I knew exactly how to pack up my shit and move, you know? So it felt like an easy decision and the right decision.
So that is where you grew up, right? Where your childhood was.
Yes.
So what kind of childhood have you had in that place?
Oh, it was beautiful. My parents are musicians. So my parents met in a big band. My dad plays drums and my mom sings. So that's how they met, you know, fell in love fast. The rest is history. So we grew up going to a lot of their shows and dancing on my older men's feet. You know how little girls stand on the little guy. Really fun times. I was a picked on kid in school. I didn't really like school very much. I liked a lot of my teachers, but school itself was hard for me. Learning was hard for me, except for my art class and all my music classes. And kids can just be mean. I mean, it's still going on today. It's even worse today, bullying. But I loved it. I loved being able to have the freedom to run around our neighborhood and not have to worry about cars or guns or it's so different now. And you knew your neighbors. We knew our neighbors. You know, now, I mean, you can be neighborly, but we don't know our neighbors. And everybody kind of keeps to themselves to protect themselves and their families. Where when I was growing up, everybody was like, hey, I welcome you. I remember as a kid going down this, you know, 2.5 blocks. My grandparents didn't live very far away. So the walk from my house down to my grandparents, I don't know, maybe took 10 minutes when I was a kid. But I would stop at houses along the way of my elders and just like, hey, do you have any candy on the counter, or can I have a carrot stick, or can I, you know? But I don't know if I would let our kids do that unless they really knew those people.
It can apply to a lot of people nowadays, just like a generational difference, I guess.
It's exactly right. And I think it's the evolution of humanity, though, too, because when you think about technology or the availability and accessibility to things that can hurt you, is of greater amount than it was when we were children. And we know more now. Sometimes that's good. Sometimes it's not so good. And with your kids too, you know, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, they'll be talking and saying, gosh, things were so different when I was a kid.
Okay. So we were talking about the life stage. You were back to Iowa.
I have been where I grew up with.
And I do remember vividly the feeling that I stood on the ground of the neighborhood that I used to run around as a kid. It feels so different. I feel like when I see that place through my adult lenses, also because it's 20 years later, so it changed a lot. The whole feeling is very different. So I'm wondering, when you were physically living in there and you still have a lot of memories of you being a child and living in there, so did everything feel different to you or pretty much the same?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, when I first moved back from China and I was living with my parents in the home that I grew up in, I deliberately decided to go back home because I knew that that was the most familiar to me and would help me to slow down to meditate on the next move. When I moved back from Los Angeles, moving back to my hometown, Norwalk is where I grew up, and then Des Moines is the capital, is the main big city in Iowa. It had grown a lot, and there were so many places that I didn't know and wasn't familiar with. However, the community was still the same. You know, physically the city had changed, but the people were still the same and had the same kind of mentality of, you know, this Midwestern beautiful life, slower than the big cities. That is exactly what I needed. And it felt so good. to have the changing of the seasons was a big thing for me. The smell of Iowa viscerally like hit me. The fresh air, the green, the cow manure that's spread on the fields in the fall for fertilizer, you know, all of those things come rushing back to you. You're like, yes, the changing of the colors of the trees, a thunderstorm, to experience those things again, and the excitement of maybe a tornado being close, and that all of those things was heartwarming and comforting, most definitely.
You have siblings, right? So that's also where you and your sibling grew up together. So you mentioned to me your brother, Brandon Rouse, back then in Shanghai, and you said, oh, that's actually my brother. And I was like, what? Really? Because, you know, he is known as the actor in Hollywood, Superman. So all the children in your family, how was this like artistic family with a bunch of children look like in the daily life?
That's a cool question. At a young age, I knew that I was going to be some kind of artist. Music was always part of my life. I grew up singing with my grandma and my mom, the three of us, the three generations. We would sing at church, or we would sing at different kinds of events around town. I loved it so much. I loved the people. I loved the accolade. I loved shining, being the star. My brother Brandon, he found an early talent for drawing and writing. He's a very good writer. And as far as acting, he didn't get into that until later. It was through some other avenues that he found acting. He did some shows in high school. My older brother, he's a police officer, very meticulously thinking about things and clean lines and just a different thinker. Our sister, you know, she was a really good trombone player and could draw, but she didn't take the artistic route either. And so in the arts, because it was always in the environment of the home, you know, and I don't think that blood necessarily defines who you become. Your environment does a lot to do with
nurturing and being immersed in that environment.
Yes.
So how was the dynamic between you and your brother Brandon? Because somehow he went to Hollywood and made some achievement in there. So how did you and your parents react to that?
You know, I've always been proud of him and following his journey. So if you back my storyline up quite a bit, after I graduated from college, I lived in New York City, and Brandon was living in New York at the time, working on a soap opera. I felt comfortable moving to the city because I knew he was going to be there. Even though he's younger, I feel like we never really had a competitive bit between us at all. But when he did get the Superman role, I would get comments from people like, oh, we always thought that you would make it, Sarah. And I didn't really know how to read that until I would really sit down with it and like, I have made it. I am different than my brother. My journey is different than my brother. We're really close, Brandon and I. Are really, really close.
Did you find it annoying at first and like how you adjust yourself, be like, stay calm and respond to that?
Yes. I found it very annoying. Then I would come down to just thinking like that person that might have said those things doesn't know who I am. Really. I didn't want to give any negative energy to them. I'm just like, you know, I have made it. I am making it, and I will continue to make it.
Your latest album, Heavy Love, I see there's a song for your daughter and it's named after Evelyn. So I feel like that's also inspired by your new role as a mother. How would you describe the change that your child has brought to you?
Evelyn is a gift that I didn't think that I was ever going to have. And I was old enough to make the decision to say, I am ready now. I am ready to sacrifice the lifestyle that I had before. I was 39 when she was born, considered geriatric in the world of doctors. Before my husband and I got together, I told him that I was pursuing bearing a child. He has two boys already. And I said, I know that you have these two boys and they're beautiful, and just wanted to let you know, if you want to keep pursuing me, you know, this is what I would like out of our relationship. Mm-hmm. Had I talked about that, or would I been able to talk about things like that and make a decision like that, or even have that conversation 20 years prior? I don't think so. Mm-hmm. I don't think that I was mentally ready. And so when we made a decision to try and conceived pretty fast, I'm extremely grateful that my body gave me the opportunity opportunity to create life. And she has grounded me. She has taught me to lead with my imagination. She has taught me to continue working on my patience. She has helped me understand that being vulnerable with communication is so important for the growth of our relationship. And what I mean by that is, like, we're both very fiery people, and so is Daddy. So when things get loud and elevated mm-hmm. at certain points, she may go to her room. I may go to my room. Things might have been said. It's important for us to close the door on what had just happened, being, okay, we have gone through some coping skills, and then we're going to get back together and we're going to talk about what just happened. The bravery of apologizing and for accepting the fact that you might have said something wrong, I said something wrong, and then discussing that and going through that process helps her to understand that going through those emotions of sadness, anger, happy, those are all accepted in your life.
So do you see the similarity between your daughter and the kid version of you?
Yes. She is very much the gotta be in the limelight, gotta be heard, gotta be paid attention to. And I was very much like that too. Sometimes too much.
That's fire, because that's how you create music, right?
You know, the title Heavy Love from the newest album was because we protect those things that we love the most. And sometimes it gets so heavy in order to protect those things. It's hard to keep them protected. There's a lot of social justice songs in there. You know, the song George was about the murder of George Floyd. And I'm not a protester. I don't go out and picket lines, but I can write a song about how I feel about it. And so the music that I'm working on now is even more happy, lighthearted. I've been back in the studio and working on some new material, which has been really exciting. I think my best stuff yet.
So I see your life journey. I just think that some sort of like a kite that you fly far away, but in the end, you know, being pulled back by something, or your daughter, you know, grounded you. Now you are rooted in where you were born, right? So it's just such a beautiful story and life journey. So if you look at your life journey so far, you know, all the routes that you have taken, it's quite amazing, right?
Yeah. It is.
Do you talk about those amazing journeys with your family, your daughter? Like, hey, you know, mommy used to live in this city called Shanghai.
Oh, definitely. Now that, you know, Brian's boys are getting older too, we're talking about what do you want to do after school? And mom, just to go spread your wings. Mm-hmm. Some people need college, but I don't necessarily think that you need it in order to survive. Or if you want to study, study abroad, go travel the world. I'm definitely a supporter of getting your life experience by living life itself. When people ask about it, I don't just like offer this long diatribe of a life story to people. But yeah, I love talking about my experiences with the kids, especially the kids, you know, at a dinner table. And because I messed up a lot. I messed up and I'm going to mess up a lot. Having those stories to be able to relay to them, be like, listen, your dad and I didn't do everything the right way. There is no one right way to live. Just a lesson that everyone should get behind. That's another thing, like how I live outside the norm.
What you're listening to now is the song Sarah wrote, Dark Moon. As I wrap up this episode with her song, I've been thinking about what Sarah said. Life would be much easier if everyone can just be true to themselves. Then I wonder, what can we do to make living outside the norm the new norm in our society? If you like Sarah's life philosophy of simplicity and want to explore her music, just go to sararouse.com. Let's all be part of this new norm.
This is my life. This is my song. I have only music to make our hearts strong. Questions unanswered. My coffee is cold. Maybe tomorrow I'll think of something bold. Dark moon, my dark moon. the time to be true to yourself is now. Stop hiding from your reality. I need your light mood, can't you see?
This is